And guys, you know this, there is no way to express in a 4-minute video the number of lives that Amanda impacted, and I believe that you'd have a hard time doing it in a 4-hour video, to be honest with you. And I think that that's some of the things that we started to see even through social media this past week. I know many of you have been sharing your stories of Amanda and how she's impacted your life and what she means to you. And we would continue, guys, to do that. Like, we would encourage you guys to do that. Because the reality is that Amanda's story is not finished. And I believe that, and we believe as a church, that Jesus is going to use her story, not her death story, but her life story, the way that she lived her life, to impact person after person. And this morning, we are going to hear from the heart of somebody who is extremely close to the Blackburn family. I'm having trouble even figuring out how to introduce this guy to have you understand the scope of their relationship. This is Davey's best friend. I've been best friends since college, but I hate even using that word because it doesn't do justice to the relationship that they have. This is a guy who, he goes to war for Davey. And he goes to war with Davey. That's the kind of friend that he is. And they've been doing that together for the past few years. And one of our core convictions here at Resonate Church is that it is impossible to do life alone. And that's not something that Davey just preaches from stage. This is the way that he lives his life and all of his relationships, and especially this one. And I actually overheard him yesterday even say that that there is no one on this planet that he would rather have speak to our church in the midst of this situation than his friend Kenneth Wagner. And so, I just encourage you guys to lean in. I know that he's going to bring some encouragement to us as a church. He's going to challenge us a little bit as a church. I know he's going to point to hope as well. So this morning, man, let's lean in and let's listen and have our hearts open to what he has to say, because I believe it's coming straight from Jesus. So guys, why don't you do this? Why don't you help me and just and welcome up Kenneth Wagner. So,
one of my greatest dreams was to be able to come to Indianapolis one day and to preach at Resonate Church. I myself am a church planter. Our church is in the 9th week of existence today. But I never imagined that it would be because of this. Davey finished last week's message with a quote. He said, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Guys, today what I want to tell you is that there are no words that I could say that are going to be magical. There are no words that I'm going to be able to present to you that are going to take the pain away, that are going to cause an instant healing. But my prayer is this today, is that we would all take one step closer. That every single one of us, we all knew Davey and Amanda in some capacity, whether it was through the media, whether it was through the newspaper, whether it was through sitting down with a cup of coffee. We all knew Davey. Maybe it was son or daughter. Maybe we all know Davey and some and Amanda in some stretch. But today, I want to convey hope. I want to convey next steps. Because more than anything, I want you to hear this, is that the movement of Christ is not finished in Indianapolis. Yeah. If somebody could grab me a table, that would be awesome. That would help me out. I've been with Davey and Amanda for a long time. Me and Davey went to Southern Western University together in South Carolina. Thank you so much. In South Carolina together, we played baseball together for 4 years. We were roommates together. And so during that time, a lot of interesting things happened. I know a lot about their relationship that most people don't. And I've been around since the days where Amanda gave Davey up for Lent. I don't know if you guys have heard that story, but that's a good one. Is she still there? I don't know if you guys have heard that story, but we were riding in the car the other day, and we were talking about Amanda, and we were like, Mark, Mark Tolan, his cousin, was like, "Dave, you always wanted a girl who loved Jesus more than she loved you." And that was what he had in Amanda. But me and Gabby both looked at each other and we were like, but that was the most irrational decision she could have ever made. We were mad for Gabby, right? I'm like, and then they would talk on the, you know, on the cheat day of Lent is Sunday, right? Most of us are feeding our face with chocolate. They're talking for like 12, they're on like a 12-hour binge talking on the phone. So Davey went away for all the way leading up to Easter. But today, I said this the other day. I said, if Amanda could send a package to Davey today, like she would always send them in college, it would be a shoebox size, but when you open it up, it would be this tremendous amount of hope. This tremendous amount of peace, that the gift that she would give us would not be anything physical. She would not send money. She would not send street gold from the streets in which she's walking on. Come on, that's good. She is celebrating today, skipping down the streets of gold, refinishing some golden gates. You know what I'm saying? I said the other day, she's probably got a street of gold, God's walking by, and she's like scuffing it up, throwing some paint on it, and he's like, whoa, Amanda, what are you doing? She's like, trust me. Just trust the process. I got so many calls from Davey where he would get a call from Amanda and say, I need you to go pick up this dresser. And he would go and pick up the dresser, and he would say, honey, this is the ugliest dresser I've ever seen. And she would refinish it and make it something beautiful. See, the theme of this whole time, I believe, is this idea that nothing is wasted. And so today, here's what I want to do. I don't want to preach your celebration of life service. That's tonight. But I want to offer hope to a congregation. You see, this message that I'm going to preach to you today, it is a message that would probably be better suited from 3 months from now. But I believe that there's some radical healing that only Jesus, hear me when I say this, if you don't know Jesus, hear me when I say this, there's radical healing that has already taken place in this family because Jesus is the centerpiece. Yeah, there is no other way. So can we pray together before we jump in? Father, you're our greatest hope. You're our greatest treasure. You're our greatest desire. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come into this room right now. God, that the words that come out of my mouth would not be my own. God, you've given me a supernatural peace that has gone before me. God, I cannot even fathom it or wrap my mind around it, but I know it's you. God, we don't know what to do in these moments, but our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you, Jesus. So in your holy name, we pray these things. Amen. Tuesday, I was sitting at lunch, and I received a call that rocked my world forever. Davey had walked in and found his wife in the condition that she was in. And what you need to know about the story that I'm telling you is that me and Davey speak every Tuesday morning from 7 to 8. Davey had gotten off the phone with me, finished our conversation, and walked in and found Amanda. I got a phone call that explained what had happened to Amanda, and they had said it happened last night. I said, it's impossible, because I talked to Davey this morning. It's impossible. I began to hope and pray that it was impossible, that it wasn't reality. The texts began to flood, the calls began to flood, and I realized that it was the truth. So I go home and walk in the house and tell Sherry I've got horrible news, and Sherry's my wife, and we've been married for 7 years. We got married like 3 weeks before Amanda and Davey. And I watched my wife just fall on the floor and experienced some of the deepest sorrow that I've ever experienced in my life. The craziest amount of pain, I know it pales in comparison to what Davey felt and what you guys felt. But the craziest amount of pain that I've ever experienced in my life. And There was a question that kind of popped in my mind is this question is, how did we end up here? How in the world did we end up in the situation that we found ourselves in? I think in a room this size, if I was to begin to ask some of the tragedy and pain that some of you guys have experienced, some of the things that you've gone through in your life, some of the kind of the happenstance of things, that the journey that you've gone down in your life, I think that there'd be some of us, and the majority of us in the room, that we've all had a moment where we would say, how in the world did I end up here? Would anybody agree with me? Like, whether it be driving and you're like, you're the guy, so you don't use the GPS. You know what I mean? Like, I got this. You know what I'm saying? Any men are real quiet. The ladies are like nudging their husbands, right? But you've either been driving and you found yourself like, how did we end up here? Or you were in a relationship and it was a destructive relationship and you found yourself asking this question, how did I end up here? And this morning, I want you to know this, is that you're not alone. That if you find yourself in this situation, exactly where I'm speaking of, where you would say, I have no clue how I ended up here this week, from this phone call on Tuesday, getting in the car at 3 p.m. In Delaware, in Dover, Delaware, and driving to Indianapolis, Indiana, praying and begging God for a miracle, and just saying, how did we end up here? How did we end up here? And there's a story that I find hope in when tragedy strikes, and it's in the Bible, which is where I go to. How many of you guys find your hope in the Scripture? Like, this is where, yeah, this is where you find your anchor runs deep. Like, you don't know why. We don't know what to do. Our eyes are on you. And our only hope and our only the way we right-size our thoughts is just to spend some time in the Word of God. This is my solace. This is what keeps me going. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to Philippians, the book of Philippians, chapter 1. See, Paul went from giving approval to Christians' death to full-time evangelist. It's not a profession switch that you oftentimes see. Paul goes from doing all these horrible things. He meets God and he radically changes their life, which I believe some of you today, you'll have your life radically changed. Because this all doesn't make sense. What's the hope in this? Where does the hope come from? The hope is Jesus. But Paul goes from giving approval to Christians' death to full-time evangelist, and then he goes from serving God and preaching the good news and doing all kinds of awesome things to being locked up in prison. This is where Paul finds himself as we jump into the book of Philippians. And I believe that it has to be one of those moments where Paul said to himself, how did I end up here? God, I was serving you. God, I was doing all the right things. God, I was preaching the gospel. How did I end up here? And so if you've got your Bible, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 1. And I don't know about you, but if I was Paul and I'm writing the book of Philippians, like, there's probably some unfiltered thoughts that he probably didn't write down. Anybody with me? You ever had a journal and you've had stuff that you wanted to write down but you just chose not to? Like, I think Paul probably had some of those thoughts. I don't know him. I never met him. One day I will. That's cool. But Paul was in this situation where he finds himself in chapter 1 of Philippians, verse 12. He says this. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. So that has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Can you imagine what must have been going through Paul's head? Like, Paul has gone from doing all the right things and he finds himself in imprisonment. I believe that in some cases that Paul had to have been asking himself, like, hey God, are chains really better than traveling? Like, is this really the best thing you have for me? Like, is me being locked up really better than me going out and sharing the good news? Is me staying here and being stopped really better than me moving forward? And maybe saying, God, is it better for me to be a prisoner or a pastor? And Paul had to be tempted. He was human. To ask the question, why me? How did I end up here? So this morning, I'm not asking you to buy into this yet. Because this is all too fresh and this is all too new. And I'm not saying that this is easy. But I'm going to ask a question that might stretch our faith in this moment. The question is this. Is it possible that what is happening is really serving to advance the gospel? You're like, that's irrational, Kenneth. Like, that is completely stupid. How could you say that on a Sunday morning after this has happened? Because I know the person that Amanda Blackburn was. And I guarantee you this, that she would be willing to lay her life down so that you could spend eternity in heaven. You see, let me ask the question again. Is it possible that what is happening is really serving to advance the gospel? 2 years ago, I was preaching at a student ministry event, and I got a phone call. And one of our students was on her way back from South Carolina to Delaware, and her gas pedal on her car stuck. She ended up going off into the shoulder and going back across traffic and not really knowing how to control the situation. She ended up losing control of her car, going across the highway, and she hit an 18-wheeler and lost her life in that moment. I remember her parents coming to me and asking me to preach that funeral. I was 27 years old. Really had no business preaching this funeral. I began to go through her Bible. I began to read her the books that she was reading. She was a godly girl. She loved Jesus. I remember going through that. And I remember getting to verse 12. And it was underlined in her Bible. And she said this. It says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. You see, this is what Amanda lived to do. Every piece of her life, every desire that she had was to see the gospel move forward. If you know her, am I telling the truth? See, this is what she lived to do. And I have to further ask the question, is it possible that in the bad things that are happening, and when everything seems to be falling apart, that God is just setting the stage to work his purpose and his passion out in our lives? And as I said earlier, this may be a message that some of you need to go back and watch in months to come. Maybe you're not there yet. But I believe that some of you are. So there's three things that I want to point out from this passage today that I think will help all of us as we journey forward. And the first one is this idea of burden versus blessing. Burden versus blessing. Verse 12 again, he says that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Let me ask you this. Did you know that what might be a burden to you could be a blessing to someone else? I think about it in my life. I didn't really understand this until I met a few people in my life, but there's like a few things that I cannot stand doing as a pastor, and some of the pastors in the room, you may concur with me. It's called admin work. Anybody completely just dislike admin work? Yeah, a few hands up. The rest of you are like, I'm too lazy to raise my hand. I need an admin to raise my hand for me. But I met this person at our church. Her name is Amina Miller, and she's an incredible person. And she said, hey, I'd like to begin to come into the office every Tuesday and begin to work for you guys for like 4 or 5 hours and just do whatever you guys need me to do. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. Well, what kind of things do you want to do? And I had no clue. She's like, I like admin work. I'm like, wait, rewind that. Say that again, because... So we begin to like, expense reports in particular are what I hate doing. Like, it's like eternity of stapling receipts to a paper. And when you work for a nonprofit, you have to account for all this stuff. And so even in the for-profit, but I love being able to walk over to her and put all these on my receipts on her desk and being like, just walk away, wash my hands, clean up, and I'm done, right? There's just something that I couldn't understand. But what is a burden to me is a blessing to Elmina. As we were sitting in the hospital a few days ago, we were standing there and the nurse that was one of the most incredible nurses I've ever been around in my life. She served Amanda like it was just like it was this her joy, her greatest joy to do. And she said this, she was talking to some of the family, I'm not sure who all was around, but she said, it's cases like this, it's situations like this that shape my faith as a believer. She said, but I have to tell you that you guys have been a blessing to me. How you guys have handled this, how you guys have prayed for her, as you guys have gathered around her and told stories and laughed. It was like laughter one moment, sobbing the next moment, laughter the next moment, sobbing the next moment, the greatest grief to the greatest joys and everything in between. And I began to realize that maybe in our life, what is a burden right now is a blessing to everyone else that's all looking. The media can't understand why people can write a statement of such hope in a hopeless world. Because what is a burden to some could be a blessing to others. You see, Paul realized that being stopped in his dreams was a way that would advance the gospel. Paul was a pastor. He didn't want to be in prison. He's like, are you serious? I want to be preaching. I want to be moving forward. But Paul realized that being completely stopped in his dreams was a way that the gospel could advance. And you see, you know what the enemy would want more than anything this morning, Resonate Church? For all of this to go away. See, this place encroaches on his territory. Like the demons are literally shaking because Resonate Church meets weekly right here. Because we encroach on his territory. You see, people on the weekly basis, almost every time Davey opens his mouth, people get saved. Like he sneezes and people get saved. It's the most ridiculous thing, yeah. And more than anything, there's going to be people from all over the world watching how a church and how a pastor and how a family, they're going to be watching from all over the world. Like, how can they get through this? Some of you came this morning to see, how can they get through this? I want you to know that the mission of this church will not stop. Yeah. The mission of this church goes on. It is an insult to the enemy. See, what a platform to point all the glory to God. This family, you guys are unreal. I've never met a family with such deep faith in Jesus Christ. Resonate Church, yeah, that's what it's like. See, while there is a such thing called generational curse, there is such thing as generational blessing.
Amen.
And you guys receive that on your weekly. Second one is this. This one's hard. This word, punishment versus providential. Paul says that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. There's some of you in the room, you feel like you are where you are today, not necessarily with Amanda's situation, but maybe you find yourself in a situation in your life that you are where you are because of what you've done. Like this laundry list of things that you could roll out, like you feel like you find yourself where you are because of something you've done. Imagine Paul, more than anyone, could have thought this about himself. That Paul has gone from given approval to Christians being killed, to now he's serving the Lord. People are being saved. They're coming to Jesus in the droves. And now he finds himself in prison. He could have been thinking back about what he did 10 years ago, what he did 15 years ago. But I want you to know this morning that that's not how grace works. See, grace, God doesn't hold what we've done in the past against us. See, what we view as punishment may just be providential. When I was in college, I played baseball with Davey, and there were literally times on game day where I would try, this is the most ridiculous thing ever, by the way, that I'm about to say, so just keep that thought. There would be times on game day where I would literally try to sin less. I would try to sin less. Yeah, it's very comical. I'm like, all right, God, I'm going to put the blinders on today. Maybe I'll get an extra hit. Like, if I just, oh, I don't want to talk about that professor. Sorry, there's some professors. I don't want to talk about that professor because I might throw a guy out at second. Like, that is ridiculous, would you agree? But some of us in our life, we live that way. We're like, oh, if I just do enough good over here, then all this will just turn out right. And when it doesn't go that way, we don't know how to compute it, that this is doesn't make sense. And I have to ask this question, if that's how it works, then what happened this week? See, what we view as punishment is often providential. There's a couple definitions I want to read to you. The first definition of providential says occurring at a favorable time, opportune. And the second one was involving divine foresight or intervention. I don't know about you, but I'm not sure Paul in this moment was thinking about this. Oh God, hey, if you could have drawn it up perfectly, like this is where I would be, you know, in hotel prison. You know what I'm saying? Like this is what I would really enjoy. This is involving divine foresight, and this is favorable time. This is opportune. But what I want you to know, church, is that this morning, that God never misses a thing. That he never says, oops, or my bad. He never says, oh, I didn't see that one coming. No, he maybe just wants to take what we see as punishment, as providential, so that the gospel can move forward. And I'll say it again. I believe that Amanda would lay her life down so that you could know Christ. See, maybe God wants to do something in you before he does something through you. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, whom God will use greatly, he will wound deeply. Whom God will use greatly, he will wound deeply. What is the level and the amount that God wanted to use Resonate Church was equal to the amount of pain that we experienced this week? Watch out, Andy. Because the pain has been so deep. The sorrow has been so great. I've never hurt, I've never ached, I've never cried as much in my life. But I can tell you this, if this is true, if A.W. Tozer is true, then whom he wounds deeply, he will use greatly. I believe the future is so bright for Resonate Church. And I believe that God is going to use you guys more great in a greater capacity than you could have ever imagined. Now, let's be realistic, is that this church needs time to grieve. Would you agree? There's going to be moments where we just cry. There's going to be moments in Delaware where I'm sitting in downtown Dover in my office on the second floor downtown, and I just begin to weep because I think of everything. I think of the Byers family. You guys' faith is unbelievable. So impacted by you guys. I think of the Blackburn family. So impacted by you guys. Your faith is unbelievable. See, God is going to do something immeasurably more. Man, his heart was to do whatever it takes to connect people to life change. That was her heart. That was her life. That was her mission. such an amazing wife, such an amazing mom, such an amazing person. The last one is this. This idea of detour versus destination. Verse 13 says this, so that it has become known through the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. See, I need you to hear me today that my destination is where I end up today, but it's not a detour if I know that God is leading me. Resonate Church, hear me when I say this, that this is not a detour, this is your destination. You know how I know that? Because God is leading you. And we have to grieve, we have to have the pain, we have to have those experiences. But we know that it's not a detour, that it's our destination, because God is leading you guys step by step by step. Every step of the way. You see, chained to the imperial guard, Paul used that to his advantage. They thought they had taken Paul captive, but he just got a captive audience. He thought that he was just chained up, but he was really just getting a broader audience. See, Resonate Church, what may be chaining you may be your captive audience. You have media asking you questions, because like I said earlier, none of this grieving process, this hope, this joy, this peace, this goodness, even in the sense, even in the middle of hell itself, doesn't make sense. But what an opportunity to have a captive audience. Resonate Church, the world is watching. What I believe is that every single one of you have an opportunity to point every person back to Jesus. Because that's what a man would have wanted. Point everybody back to Jesus. You see, I think about this. If Paul would have gone to prison and he would have just sat back in a corner, right? Just thrown himself the greatest, lack of better term, pity party that he ever could. He would have had every right to. I mean, he was moving forward, preaching the gospel, presenting the gospel, people being saved. He would have had every right to just cower back in the corner, but Paul didn't do that at all. He used the situation for God's glory. He used the situation to see other people's salvation. And I believe this morning, church, Resonate Church, I believe that some of us, this morning, we just need to stand in this place when we declare this last song that we're going to sing together. And we need to say, as a group, unified, I'm not going to sit back. I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to get in a corner, but I'm going to worship. We don't know what to do, God, but our eyes are on you. This doesn't make sense, but I'm going to worship. So this morning, before we stand, I want every hand bowed, every eye closed in there today. And I just got to ask you today. Maybe today you came and you don't have this hope. You don't know the hope in Jesus. Black family and the Myers family has. You don't have that hope. Today, I want to offer you that hope. His name is Jesus. He came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. Died a horrible death on the cross. So that you could spend eternity with him. Paul said, see, what's happening is really served to advance the gospel. I believe today the gospel is going to be advanced. So if you're in here today and you would say, Kenneth, I need that hope. I need that hope in Jesus. When everything breaks loose, when everything hits the fan, I need that kind of hope, the hope that I've seen on display in this church. If that's you today, I want you to throw your hand up and say, that's me, Kenneth. I just need that hope. I need the hope of Jesus. Go ahead and raise it up. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hands all around. Yeah. Anybody holding out today? If you think there's a better hope, I want you to know there's not. It's Jesus. Yeah. People are still raising their hands. I'll stay here all day. People are continuing to say that's me. If you raise your hand today, I simply want you to ask Jesus, say, repeat these words with me. You don't have to repeat them out loud. Just repeat them. Say, Jesus, today I decide to follow you. God, I want to know this kind of hope. Forgive me of my sins. Make me brand new. Help me to live every day for you. Is there salvation in the house this morning? Is that good stuff or what? Yeah. The song we're about to sing is called Last Word. So today, here's what I want us to do. As I talked about Paul could have sat back and the gospel would have never advanced. Today, church, I want us to rise to our feet. So let's all rise to our feet. Amanda's favorite things to do is to worship. So she's worshiping with us this morning as we sing to the heavens, as we cry out and declare these words. So church, I just want to challenge you with every piece of who you are today. These words, these lyrics, they're more than just pen to a paper. This is our declaration this morning. Let's pray. Father, we just love you. We thank you today for what you're doing in this place. God, we honor Amanda's life. God, she has shown us how to live in so many ways. To be a disciple of you, to be a follower of you, to be a mother, to be a wife, to be a friend, to be an encourager. So God, I pray that we would follow her as she followed you, Jesus. This morning, will we declare to the heavens, will we worship with Amanda this morning, saying that you are God, that you are good.